I don't know whether you noticed the chimes just before church began. Did you notice? What were they playing? Onward, Christian Soldiers. It's a great, great hymn to play on Memorial Sunday. And this is Memorial Sunday. It's a very special Sunday. It's a very special time in the life of the United States of America. It's a Memorial Sunday. And we're proud of the part that Southern Illinois, and in particular the city of Carbondale and the Memorial Cemetery downtown, we're proud of what all of that plays in the observance of Memorial Day. It's a great honor tradition. But the greatest part is honoring the brave men and women who've served in our armed forces through several centuries now. And having given their service for our freedoms, they have passed on. Now, as is true with all of you, I share in this, the honorable fathers of Sue and myself have served our country in the military, specifically for us in the Army. And virtually every family can point proudly to fathers and mothers, to sisters and brothers, other relatives who are now gone but have served us as a country valiantly in the armed services. Some losing their lives in a time of war, but all ready to give their all for the good of our country. And so we give thanks. And we honor them all. And I wonder if it is not true that somewhere in your family, grandmother, grandfather, father, mother, brother, sister, nephew, niece, uncle, aunt, somewhere there, you have someone who has served in the armed forces. If so, would you just, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on, Harold. Get out there. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You see, Memorial Day is a very special day for all of us. Whether that person who served is still living or has gone on. Well, actually, this is a very special day also in the life of the Christian church. And I usually wear a white shirt or a muted color. I'm wearing red today, a red shirt, because this is a special day in the life of the church. I'm wearing this tie because of Memorial Day. So I've put the two together. This day is special to us as Christians because of one who served, one who gave his life in a conflict that changed the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now I'd like for us to read our scripture for today. It's on the back of your bulletin, if you'll join with me in the reading and the listening. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. The King James says, like as of fire. Tongues like as of fire. Tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Or again, another word there is in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were, staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia." That Asia being the Roman province by that name, not all of Asia. Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue, our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Well, there are many, many special days that we celebrate because of the life of Christ. And this one is a celebration of the birth of his church, the day of Pentecost. And we need a better understanding of what really happened on the day called Pentecost. We may never fully understand all that happened, but we need to respond more completely to that event. We need to respond that way if we are going to be what our Lord Jesus would have us to be, witnessing Christians, a spirit-filled witnessing church. That's what Jesus wants us to be. Well, we celebrate Christmas because it is a special day that marks the coming of Christ into the world. We just recently celebrated Easter Sunday because it marks that special day of the victorious resurrection of Jesus. You know, that was Jesus, the Christ, but Jesus also called the Nazarene, formerly of the village of Nazareth in Galilee, but now risen and ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. Resurrection Sunday, Easter, is a special day that same Jesus rose from death in the grave. And, brothers and sisters in Christ, we should celebrate the day of Pentecost as the very special time when the Holy Spirit of God came and gave birth to the church. Because we've often neglected the significance of what really happened on the day of Christian Pentecost, we're undernourished, we're impoverished, we're incomplete, we are uninformed, we're unequipped, we're ineffective, and in many respects, unsatisfactory in our Christian witness. What really happened on the day of Pentecost? Or perhaps this would be better phrased to begin with here. What is the day of Pentecost all in all? And then in particular, what is the day of Pentecost to us as Christians? Well, first of all, Pentecost was a Jewish religious festival. Even before we as Christians came to have our own special time of having a Pentecost. Pentecost was then a day, a Jewish festival of long historical significance. And it came 50 days after the great feast of Passover, thus assigning to the day the designation of Pente, a prefix that means 50. Pentecost originally was a festival of agricultural significance called Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. In Leviticus chapter 23, God instructs Moses to speak to the people of Israel and set out the specifics for all the feasts that he wanted his people to celebrate when they came into the promised land, the land that had been promised to Abraham. The fourth feast, the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, is described this way. Chapter 23 of Leviticus, verse 15. from the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. So you see, it was an agricultural feast. After being delivered from Egypt, this particular celebration is about the first harvest in their new land. And verse 16, it says they were to count 50 days from the Feast of First Fruits, or the Feast of Passover, and then to bring 2 baked loaves of bread made with the flour from the wheat harvest and other things, to show their thankfulness for God's deliverance from bondage and for the new harvest of food. Well, later in the history of Israel, Pentecost, or Shavuot, had come to commemorate the giving of the law of God, the Ten Commandments, to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, rabbinic scholars, Jewish scholars that we call rabbis, believe that it was on this day, on Pentecost, that God visited his people after their exodus from Egypt, and through Moses, he brought the Torah, or the law for the nation, down from Mount Sinai. And this earth-shaking day of the visitation of the Lord is considered the birthday of the nation of Israel, because it is the beginning of the covenant, now known as the Old Covenant. And the Old Covenant is a national covenant between Yahweh God and his covenant people. And so the nation of Israel was established. Now, unfortunately, because of sin, we read in that history that 3,000 died under the law that day of the covenant. 3,000 Israelites. However, and this is a great however, whereas 3,000 had died under the law on the Sinai visit to Moses, 3,000, as we see in the book of Acts, are now saved by grace as the Apostle Peter preaches to the crowds coming up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. In the New Testament, God was not replacing the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, but rather was fulfilling it with a new covenant. Now, the emphasis was now going to be on a new kind of harvest, a harvest of people coming into the kingdom of God, all because of the human sacrifice of Jesus, the Passover lamb. Thus, in both the Old and the New Testament, God's people are to celebrate a harvest and a covenant. And so I hope now you see, maybe better, maybe even for the first time, how God worked to make the Jewish Pentecost and the Christian Pentecost really come together as a beginning and then as a fulfillment. Well, Christian Pentecost, then, is God's very specific way of bringing together all of Israel's past as his people and moving them now to the church as his people. And thus was a gracious act of God, the Christian Pentecost was. Pentecost was not merely the natural result of consecrated and concentrated efforts of the early followers of Christ. In truth, those early followers were very intricately involved. They were faithfully following the instructions of their Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And so they went over from where Jesus had ascended, the Mount of Olives, over to Jerusalem to wait. In the first verse of our text for today, Acts 2:1, says they were all together in one place. According to Acts 1:15, about 120 of them, they were waiting in one house. Any of you have a house where 120 people can wait? A big house. That's what God's people are. They're a big house. Now, as I've said, that which was experienced on the day of Christian Pentecost was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. The prophet Joel spoke of the day of the Lord, a day when the Spirit would be poured out. Joel 2:28-29. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And the whole experience of the Christian Pentecost was the gift of, or the gift from, the exalted Christ, a gift to his church, as we're given in Acts 2:33, reading, if you were to read down to the 33rd verse. It reads, "Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you are, what you now see and hear." That's at the end of Peter's sermon. Well, you can easily say that Christian Pentecost was the baptismal experience of the church. John the Baptist predicted that the Messiah who was coming would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Luke records this in his chapter 3, verse 16. John says, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to tie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he spoke of the baptism of the Spirit as an experience in which people of all conditions, all classes, were brought into a unity with Jesus Christ by means of a Spirit baptism. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." So a knowledge of the Old Testament symbolism indicating the activity of God in the Christian Pentecost is an essential for us to understand what God was seeking to communicate to his people and, to his people and concerning his people on that day of Pentecost, that day of Christian Pentecost. These are the symbols. There was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. The Hebrew word translated wind is used in three different ways in the Old Testament. It can refer to breath, the breath of life. It's also used with reference to the desert wind, rushing violently across the land, or conversely blowing softly in the evening. And the word wind is also used as a reference to the Spirit of God, all the way from the very beginning, first chapter of Genesis. The sound of heaven, that it came from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, symbolized a manifestation of the presence of God to the people on the day of Pentecost. People with Jewish understandings of the symbolism of wind. And then you have tongues like as fire. These tongues were not fire, but rather like fire. Some Old Testament background is helpful at this point. The Lord appeared to Moses in a bush that burned with what appeared to be fire, yet was not consumed. That's in Exodus 3. The Lord led the people of Israel out of bondage of Egypt by means of a pillar of fire, a fire that burned continually, or appeared to burn continually all night long. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to a contest in which the God who answered by fire was to be worshipped as the true God. And that's in 1 Kings 18. And when Solomon had dedicated the temple, it says in 2 Chronicles 7, the fire came down from heaven verse 3 of that chapter. And when all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord. So these tongues, like unto fire, that fell on each of the 120 in that upper room on the day of Pentecost, was similar to the activity of God in that Second Chronicles time when Solomon's temple was dedicated. And so as the mighty wind came, the breath of God, and the fire appeared as the glory of God, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues, other languages, unknown to them, but now spoken by them with a new clarity. You see, a miracle happened in which, going back to the Old Testament, the event at the Tower of Babel was reversed. Genesis chapter 11 tells it this way. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. Different languages so as to confuse. Now in Jerusalem, different languages, but the opposite outcome. Understanding of all of the same message because it was in their own language. It was in the tongue of their place of origin. In Jerusalem that day, there were present groups from 17 different national areas with different dialects or languages. But they each heard and they each understood in their own language what the newly spirit-filled followers of Christ were saying. In the events that took place on the day of Christian Pentecost, the God of Israel was identifying the new Israel, identifying the church, the new church. God was authenticating his church as the instrument that he would use for redemptive purposes. His new church was empowered, it was equipped, and it was commissioned. And a very diverse group, people from all over, were unified into one body through which Christ could serve as Savior of all mankind, the Jew of his called nation Israel, and all others of that all-inclusive group of which we today are a part, the ones called the Gentiles. The Christian Pentecost emphasized the preaching of the good news through Jesus Christ. The message of the Apostle Peter on that day is the message of the witness of Christians down through the centuries, and the message of our witness today. The message we too proclaim through the power of the Spirit given to us, the power of the Spirit that is within each of us. The message is Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God and the fulfillment of every bit of Old Testament prophecy concerning a Messianic Savior. Jesus Christ had been crucified on a cross of cruelty for the redemption of humanity's sin. Jesus Christ had conquered that cross death and the grave by his resurrection on the third day, as prophesied. Jesus Christ is now exalted once again to a position of lordship at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Jesus Christ of God is worthy of our worship, of our adoration, and of our trusting faith. And the Christ of God was present in and as the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in great power for his church. What happened on the day of Pentecost? That is the Christian day of Pentecost? Well, more than we can possibly understand, but perhaps you may understand a bit more today, looking at the combination of what happened in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The immediate result of the Pentecost of the new church was that believers proclaimed a gospel that was all-inclusive in its invitation and all-sufficient in its provisions of grace and mercy. The great provision was the amazingly simple way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Acts 2:21. Therefore, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's pretty simple, but it's profound. Peter, of course, there was quoting from the prophecy of Joel, Joel 2:32. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance. And so we honor and revere the day of Christian Pentecost, and well we should. And in understanding much more thoroughly all of what happened, including the history of the Jewish feast of Pentecost, Shavuot, the symbolism of the wind, understanding the fire and the tongues, and then the results, the empowering of the church and the enormous responsibility and the enormous response of those who heard the Spirit-empowered message of Peter. We today are called to respond to it and let it become real in our own hearts and lives. So may the Spirit of God come now and with great frequency to His people, to us, His people, coming in Pentecostal power.